FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stones.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers, defenders of truth, robots who fight in disguise.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, episode number 294. Recorded July 21st, 2018. I am your host, Daron Land. And, well, we're back after God knows how long. I'm wanting to say it's been, what, about a month and a half since we were on the last time?
Yeah.
Live, anyway.
Yeah. It's been a while, but there was a lot of outlying reasons.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail, but, you know, for those of you who weren't following the Twitter and our Facebook group, shame on you. I gave a little, some updates whenever I finally got out, but what happened was I got very sick. I got what's called sepsis. It's essentially blood poisoning. And I got it from what the doctors think a chipped tooth. And it almost killed me. It put me in the hospital for 9 days. And as you can hear, even a month later, I've been out of the hospital a month now, and my voice is still not 100%. It's gradually getting back, but, you know, it's something I've been really struggling with. A week and a half ago, I was still, you know, every time I'd open my mouth and start to talk, it would start out as a whisper, and I'd really have to force it just to get any sound out at all. And it really hurt just to talk. At this point, it's not hurting to talk, but every now and then my voice will crack, and I may not be able to sound the way I want to, or make my words sound the way they need to. I just hope you can just bear with me, and we'll muddle through this. Hopefully everything's looking good right now. Showing good on our broadcast. A little rusty on this since it's been about a month and a half since the live show. And thank God that we had some episodes in the can to put up in the meantime. So y'all haven't been TFYLP-less lately. You know, I mean, it's been a couple weeks. As such, we are back, and hopefully everything will go smoothly. Tonight we're going to talk about some things that's been in the news a lot. You know, you probably have heard of a little thing called TFCon USA last weekend, and weekend before last. And then this weekend we've got SDCC, in San Diego. We got a lot of reveals, both third party and official. I don't think we'll have time to really go over everything that's been shown. I mean, gosh, it's been like, you know, a cavalcade of great images and stuff. I've even got some TFCon Canada exclusives with me right here. This is the Catcall and Uproar. Basically the Cobalt Sentries from Ocular Max. They got some tolerance issues, and I think that's something that Ocular Max tends to struggle with, in my opinion. I owned what's the Mirage? Sphinx. I owned it and a couple other things. I also own the Cosmos that they have, Omni. There's every now and then a little bit that's like, there's a tolerance issue. You got to like wiggle something, finagle something other, and it makes you sweat when you do it.
Are there any stress marks on it?
No, not that I can see, but I know Uproar, one of his legs, it's really tight getting it to swing back up. And then also with Cat Call, some of his, like his legs, whenever you go, his front legs, when you go to unpeg them, are very, very tight. You really have to pull on them to get them to go. And then with Enemy, Enmitus, the locking tabs, you've got to push them a little bit. It's like they're a little bit, they almost need to be shaved in order to have that perfect click right in. You got to force them in, and I'm going to sweat whenever I take it apart. But that being said, I really, really enjoy these figures. They're beautiful. They're fun to mess with, and the posability is great. A bit big for Masterpiece, in my opinion. That's why I didn't go for the actual G1 character colors. And I went for these obscure off characters that were essentially e-hobby exclusives. I really like them, and I wanted them, but I was going to wait for this kind of thing for them, because I'm not going to display them with my Masterpieces. They're going to be set off to the side. But before we go all into that, you know, you guys, it's been a month and a half. What have you guys been into? Don, what have you been into?
Well, I started a new position at work back around Easter, which is a better hours, better.
What is this? The sound's coming through again. All right.
Lot less stress. So that's looking up. Just been trying to keep just life in general. Just to let everyone know, I took a sleep study. I'm on a CPAC machine now. So.
Oh, I get to take.
Welcome to the club.
I get to take a sleep study Monday.
I'm trying to get used to this thing with crammed up my nose, and it's like.
You got to get the full mask, buddy.
I can't
do the full mask.
Well,
I can't sleep without it now. It's amazing.
Well, I may have to switch to that, but right now I'm gonna try to get used to, because I couldn't stand the whole, you know, this thing right here kind of bit.
Can you get one that looks like a face hugger?
It's like wrapping a plastic vagina around your face, Don. It's great.
Okay. Anyway, been keeping up with all the third party releases. I saw the Colossus repaint that didn't make it to TFCon Canada. The Machine Wars Prime.
Oh, he made it there.
He did? Okay, I was told that he didn't make it there. In
48 of him made it there.
I ordered mine today, actually, off their website.
Okay. So that plus I'm sure we'll get to the San Diego reveals, such as they were. And just, you know, keeping up the collection, picked up a item I've been looking for a while. 7-Eleven Masterpiece Optimus Prime from Takara, which was a 7-Eleven exclusive in Japan. The big reveal of how I got this is available on my other show from this week for the complete Dononomics history on how that came about. Other than that, just trying to keep up with everything. Saw the price of Megatron and cried a little inside, you know.
I don't collect Beast Wars characters anymore. I really want that one, but I'm not going to pay that price. For a character, it's going to be a one-off in my collection. No.
Right. Right now, though, most everybody that I know of is getting it through Amazon Japan, is actually sending it to the U.S., and it's the best price I've seen at about $262. but we need to hope that the yen rate holds between now and then. That's
so it looks like Diamond. I'm sorry, not Diamond. Entertainment Earth is also carrying it at a very similar price.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of that. So yeah, that's pretty much what we've been doing is, you know, because I think all of us, I know everybody on RFC, and I think most of us over here figured they'll try to keep Megatron below the $300 price point is what, and it's like, nope. At least as far as the initial reveal, it was like, yeah, that didn't happen. That's it for me, pretty much. Plus, Massey says hi.
What's you, Rick?
I am still incredibly handsome.
That's debatable.
The show is over. I'm going to take a shower. It's a hot shower. It's a lot like a normal shower, only with me in it. So I'll be doing that later.
Do you heat your own water with your own body heat?
You know what? I think I'm going to try that tonight. With just my Latin passion. Give it a go.
You're one of those that sits in a tub and starts farting and making your own bubble bath too.
I have a new piece in my collection which I'm very happy with. It's a Ertl truck. It's early 1980s. I have not been able to find a year on it. It's a Toys R Us truck. It features the 80s Joffrey on it with Junior, Baby G, and his wife Gigi. And I'm very sentimental about the whole Toys R Us thing. I don't think we've been on since Toys R Us closed shop. I was very lucky that that my friend who worked at Toys R Us, he called me the next day after they closed. He's like, bring a truck. Come on down.
So we apologize for that audio problem there.
So he says, come bring a truck and come on down. And they're not the best cases. I got the R-Zone cases. They're 4 feet wide, 2 feet deep, 8 feet tall. They originally held video games, but I walked away with two of those for zero monies.
And Rick, you got to tamp your mic down, man.
Yeah, we're getting nothing but static.
Should I eat the mic or put the mic?
No, it's the static.
No, the static.
I don't hear it.
Drowns everything out, even your own voice.
The mic away.
Now you sound really far away.
It sounds like it's either your plug or your wire leading your either your headphone jack or the wire itself is a kink in it.
All right, and one more thing that I want to discuss. How's the audio?
Good now.
All right, can I screen share here for a second?
That will screw up the thing, but you might want to.
Can I? All right. Well, I recently acquired a film prop, and I don't know what film it's from, and I was hoping to ask our viewing audience for some help. It's a UFO. It's made of metal. It's about 5.5 feet wide, circular. It looks like it's anywhere from the 70s to maybe the 50s or 40s, and it was given to me for free. And it's enormous. It's beautiful. And I'm going to take it. I'm going to make a 1-to-1 scale cosmos out of it.
Ooh.
Hey, can you put a picture on Twitter, Rick, so we can at least, you know, see it that way?
On Twitter and our Facebook group, that might be a good way to do it.
Yeah, I'll do that right now.
Yeah. Oh, while Rick's doing that, let's move on to Jim Black. Your mic is muted.
Again,
he always forgets that.
How's that?
That's better.
There we go.
Hi.
Hi. What have you been into?
Trying to figure out this new version of Skype and how the freak to make everything full screen so I can see everybody at the same time instead of a tiny, tiny window.
I believe it's pronounced.
It shows who's talking at that moment, and that's it.
Hmm.
Alternatively, turning Ripper Snapper into a jet ski.
Nice.
All right.
He's essentially just sitting on his butt.
What you're seeing. I'm hoping it's on camera.
Yes.
Yep, we can see it.
I can't see nothing. I'm looking at Christian right now. What up, man?
How do I look?
Christiany.
Smashing.
Christiany.
Christiany. I mean, yeah. Good, I guess.
Well, what about you, Christian? What have you been into?
I've gotten into my new apartment.
Hey, mazel tov.
Thanks.
You picked the lock, did you?
Almost. It was an experience.
Or was it more like a Kool-Aid man type of thing? Just kind of smashing through the wall?
Well, I do like smashing through walls.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. Yep, I'm here. It's a lot better than the other place. So that's taking up most of my time. That and getting finally caught up in Power of the Primes Wave 2 and now 3 today.
Oh, did they come?
They did. They arrived today. I picked them up on my way out the door.
Was there any extra goodies in your box?
I have not opened the box yet.
Oh.
Doesn't count. Are there extra goodies in my box?
I don't know. I gave some suggestions, but I don't know if he followed.
When I got sent the Predaking from our wonderful sponsor, Capture Prey, there was a packet of Cheez-Its in there.
In a popcorn bag.
Oh, is that what that was? It looked like a
I thought it was a popcorn bag at first, but I guess it was. Yeah.
Fun fact about Cheez-Its, they are a lot oilier than you think, because they made that bag or that envelope translucent.
Well, it's like potato chips. If you ever pour them out on a paper towel, you get to see how oily those things really are. Yep. Yeah.
Same thing. I was surprised. I thought Cheez-Its were supposed to be at least marginally healthier and less oily, but nope. Same degree.
Well, let's move on to our main topics of discussion. And there's something else after, if we have time at the end, that we might talk about, but we may save it for another episode. It's kind of a revisit to something that we've talked about before, but we've got a few new cast members since, and the audio's auto problem either way. We got a few new cast members since, and they're kind of dealing with it right now. And Christian, I know you said you were one of them. And that's kind of clearing things out to make some room. So, God, what is that?
Duran, your audio keeps cutting out.
That's your audio drowning everyone out.
Yeah, your static is drowning everybody out.
There. I just plugged my headphones.
That is better.
Hey Rick.
Yeah, that's way better. Code?
Yeah, that's.
It works. Now we hear you. Yeah, we get an echo back through your speakers. Do you have a pair of just regular headphones? Rick.
I can't hear you. No, I can't hear you. Say that again, please.
Do you have a pair of just regular mono headphones or something?
Yeah, I'll go grab them.
All right. Let's see here. I'm trying to fix this, everybody. Bear with me. It's, like I said, all my stuff is off kilter since last time we did this. But anyway, TFCon USA, I'm sitting there. I'm like, that didn't sound right. TFCon Canada last week. I wasn't there, obviously, but several people that I know was there, and I do want to say that I heard that there was a lot of people asking about TFYLP and me specifically, and I want to thank everybody for your kind words and all your. Input that you were giving. It's very, very welcome, and thank you so much. But Christian, you were actually there at TFCon. What were your thoughts on the show?
Well, it was a fun show. They're all fun shows, but I'm starting to feel that every TFCon is the same. It was great to meet all the fans, so if you came up and said hey to me, that really made my whole weekend, so thank you. That was awesome. But, like, the show itself, it seems like it's always a repeat of the same panels over and over and over again. I don't know if that's me. I don't know if that's the convention.
Well, anyway. It's like we spoke about on an earlier episode, you know, talking about conventions. You know, a lot of us who have been to a lot of conventions, I mean, I've been going, my first con was in 04, you know, so 14 years for me, Dawn since the dawn of time.
is the dawn of time.
Literally, if you go to so many conventions, it gets to the point where the panels have very little appeal to you because you've seen it and heard it, most of it before. If not in a panel at a previous con, you've seen or heard about it online in some way, shape, or fashion. And it gets to the point where the con is mainly, the main draw for the con is the dealer room, the opportunity to see and buy toys in person, and also interact and hang out with your friends.
Yeah, that's what it is for me these days.
Yeah.
Well, when it all boils down, isn't that the main purpose?
It is. But I think a lot of people, though, whenever they think of a con, they expect the panels. And I think that's why the panels still hang around. And I think the panels do still have a use, because there's a lot of people out there that, you know, like this year's con may have been their first ever convention.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. And if that's the case, it was probably an amazing convention.
Yeah.
But even though, you know, our good friend Aaron Archer is my hero, I didn't go see his panel again because I've seen it several times already at this point. But I did go up and talk to him, and he came over and talked to me later at the booth, and that was great.
Well, I think what you're running into, Christian, is what I ran into with BotCon, is that the first 5 or 6 years I lived in the dealer's room, just because, again, in 94, you know, and as a quick side note, someone has put up footage on YouTube from the 94 convention. So it's a real blast from the past.
Yeah, I think John Hartman actually did the digital conversion of that, and then Carl recently uploaded it.
Okay, cool. I couldn't remember who did it. I'm just very tired tonight. But you're running into what I did after the first couple of years of being in the dealer's room and just buy, because again, I didn't know about the European licenses. I didn't know about the Japanese stuff. So I was playing catch up, because I thought I knew everything walking in the door in 94. I didn't. But then I started going to all the panels. Once I had most everything I was looking for, I went to the panels. I went to all this stuff. And then after a while, that's what you ran into. It was the same panel. Just like, I even skipped the Peter Cullen panel, just because I'd been to three of his panels. I pretty much knew what he was going to say. And the one thing that bugged me was the questions were going to be the exact same questions that everybody asks at every panel, which I understand if you've not been, you don't know. So it's
new. Oh, come on, Don. You've got the famous Don question. Everyone knows what your question is at every panel.
Yeah, I'm sure people got tired of hearing me as well. So it's just, it was just you knew what they were going to say. You know what the answers were going to be. And unless it was moderated, like a lot of the TFCon panels are, which I appreciate the moderators. With what, especially that one lady who was monitoring several of the panels the year I was there, you know, she made sure. She was very quick. I wish I could remember her name, but she didn't take any bull. She kept the panel lively. She kept the questions going, which was really great. And a moderator is really nice to have on stuff like
that. You know, Daniel McClung, and hi Daniel. He posted in the live chat on YouTube. The only panels that he cares about are the future release panels and the how-to panels. He's not a big fan of watching an actor on stage answering questions. Is, you know, pretty much if you go to a convention, the most packed panel is always the product reveals panel, because that is something that is entirely new. It may be the same
format. No, I disagree.
Really?
I also
that
disagree.
That is only... at a Transformers convention. You go to any other convention, Duran.
Well,
right?
I am talking mainly
San
about
Diego
Transformers.
San Diego Comic-Con. Rhode Island Comic-Con. LA Comic-Con. Florida Con. Miami Supercon. TerraCon. It's always the actors. always the actors.
Well, the thing is, though, we're talking mainly about Transformers conventions, you know, like BotCon and TFCon, and how the panels, you know, just don't have the appeal that they once did. And to a lot of people like myself, like Don, like you, we've been to so many conventions, a lot of the panels we just don't have interest in because we've seen it, we've heard it. You know, it may be a little bit different this year than last year, but it's essentially the same information. But
I feel that way about the product reveal panel, actually.
Yeah, I mean,
the third-party stuff, it seems that they're still circling the same characters over and over again. The interesting things this year for me, though, were the new MMC Skylynx. That's pretty great. And also, they're making, what's his name, Roller from the comics.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's, you know, more Minasaurs, more Brutokai.
Yeah, that's the one thing about the TFCon panel is that, like last year, there was so much stuff there that was already out, available for purchase, being shown at the preview panel. And I would like to think maybe if they had split it up into 2 days, and that way, because the stuff towards the end, I remember got very, very, very little attention, because they were just trying to get through the panel in time. And
credit where credit's due there. Ryan Sheehy's a good friend. He's very good at making sure everyone gets at least a little bit of time on that panel.
Oh, yeah,
it's difficult, but he somehow manages to fit it all in there.
Yeah, I really didn't want – I wasn't trying to badmouth anybody. It's just – but there was so much stuff that had been out for several weeks, if not several months, at the beginning mm-hmm. of the panel that everyone there already knew. So yep. either if they had spent less time on that or, like I said, had split it up into, like, day one and day two. And that way you could have gotten –
Hey, that's an idea.
You know, that way you would have gotten more information on the stuff that we hadn't seen anything about. It's like I wanted to see more information on Double Evil, which would be their overlord. I wanted to see, you know, some more stuff, and it was just like boom, 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 and then you sort of had to piece together what you could when you got home from different sources to get an idea about it, other than, you know, like that. So that's the one thing I wish they would change is they could just if they can split something up, because Sunday, and again, this is just Sunday seems to be the day that's kind of begging for content at a lot of conventions because people are, you know, there a lot of people are leaving. They're only there for Friday and Saturday. They can't afford all the weekend, or they can't get the time off. And Sundays are usually the lighter days, which I understand gives everybody a chance to wind down. But, you know, that's what I like to see is, you know, just a little bit slower on some of the stuff so we can actually take in what we're seeing.
You know, last year on Sunday when I was at the Canada convention, I saw the best panel I've seen in years. And it was really neat. It was someone doing, like, the real history of, like, Diaclone and where that came from, all the way back to, you know, Henshin Cyborg that was inspired by G.I. Joe. You know, I never knew any of that stuff. So to learn that for the first time was really neat. And the guy who did it was really engaging. He clearly knew a lot about the material and was able to convey it in an effective way. And that just blew my mind that there was even more history to Transformers that I ever knew.
Well, I think the problem that you run into at an unofficial convention like TFCon is much what you said earlier there, Christian, in that, you know, it's by nature, third parties like to revolve around the same characters. You know, I mean, how many Devastators do we have? How many Bruticus do we have? Dinobots, you know, I mean, they keep revisiting the same stuff over and over and over. And each year you're like, okay, it's a new toy, but it's the same character that we had once before. You kind of have that with Hasbro, but Hasbro tends to, I think the thing with Hasbro is like, we get to see what direction the official line is getting ready to go into. And we'll talk more about the official reveals here in a few moments at SDCC. But I think it just gets to the point now where we're getting tired of seeing the same characters recycled over and over again, especially in third party. You know, everybody's trying to one up the other. And case in point was Fans Toys finally showed off the actual physical Hoodlum, which is their masterpiece Hot Rod. And now all the talk online is everybody's talking, I'm selling my Hot Rod, my masterpiece Hot Rod. This thing looks way better, which it does. But in my argument, and this is this goes hand in hand with seeing the same things over and over and over again. Me personally, I'm getting tired of chasing that perfect vision of a particular character. Once you get to a point, you know, I do enjoy finding a character that has been, you know, has a toy representation that is better than we've ever gotten. And to me, I believe, what is it, MP28 that is Hot Rod? Is it MP20?
Yes. Ish, somewhere around there.
Yeah. Masterpiece Hot Rod. To me, that is the best Hot Rod we've ever gotten, officially. Do I feel the need that I need to replace that toy? It looks the way it should in car mode to me. It looks pretty much the way it should in robot mode. Is it perfect? No. But I don't think we're ever going to get that perfect toy for every character that we want. And I'm getting to the point now where if I've got a toy that I'm happy with, a rendition of a character that I'm happy with, I'm going to stick with it. I'm getting tired of selling, getting a toy, keeping it. And my TFC Hercules is a perfect example. I had that toy for the longest time, even said on this show, I'm never selling this toy. I'm so happy with it. I loved it. And then we got Combiner Wars Devastator. Now we've got Toy World Constructor out there. Both in different ways, superior toys to Hercules, in my opinion. Devastator in capturing that cartoon aesthetic, and Hercules in Constructor getting that more masterpiece-ish, I guess, feel to it, and the scale and the scale of it, and the detail, and you know, I've got the Combiner Wars Devastator. I have the Constructor in my pile at Captured Prey, in my stasis pod at Captured Prey. So I'm like, if they announce another Devastator and it's like the ultimate version, I'm like, you know what? I'm sick of it. I'm going to stick with what I got, you know, and I'm wondering how many collectors are going to these conventions like TFCon and seeing these same characters regurgitated year in, year out, just a different version of it. It may not even be better. How many people are just saying, you know what, fuck it, I'm not getting any more?
Now,
let me just throw one curveball in there. What if it's a HasLab Devastator?
Like the barge?
Yeah.
The slave barge? I don't know. I mean, it's time and, space, price, a lot of that has a lot to do with the decision of doing that. And also, you know, desire to replace a character. It's like, that is like the best. You know, if it's a HasLab Devastator, and if it's like enormous compared to everything else, it really wouldn't fit. Do I need it? Would it display well with my other figures? Case in point, these guys here, the Ocular Max tapes, I think they're very nice. They are very masterpiece-ish, but to me, they're too big for masterpiece. I'm not going to display them with my masterpiece. And it's all subjective. Everybody has a different opinion. I know a lot of people that displays these guys with their masterpieces because they feel that's the way they should. But is it to the point now where people are getting tired of replacing figures because, oh, it's better?
Well, now, one thing, Duran, is I've actually brought this up before. I'm not trying to cross promote, but I do have my own show now over on RFC, and I'm basically the Andy Rooney over there.
Yeah.
Now, you know, is what it both. I'm going to
cross. For those of us born this century, do you want to just, you know, quickly remind people who Andy Rooney was?
Anyway.
You can never get enough much Don. Anyway.
And I talked about this on the show is called It's a Don Deal. And I brought this up. I think I brought this up in a topic because when we get to the San Diego releases here in a little bit, you're going to hear a lot of this as well. We need the third parties. 84, 85, 86 is done. Other than very few select characters, US-wise, yes, we might need some better representations of some characters because what we got earlier may not fit. But Reflector. Some third party is going to have the balls and say, okay, we have got to get out of this 84, 85, 86 box. Yes, there's risk. We've talked about this on this show before. We need someone to step up. Like, for example, Planet X. Planet X? Planet Express?
Planet X.
Planet X. Okay, thank you. Oh. They have hit a niche doing their War for Cybertron stuff. So they're doing something that not many people were doing, and they're succeeding at it.
Mastermind Creations.
With their reformatted lines, and also with Stryker Gnar, Stryker Menace, the Galvatron that's coming out. We need these third parties. Someone needs to start something new. I know everybody will jump on the bandwagon if it's successful, but we need a third party to look at, okay, we need to look at European G1, G2. We need to look at late Takara G1. We need to look at original lines like the Unrustable Bastard seems to be doing very well for them. And they've
incidentally,
got a whole other
place. Yeah, there's a new Kickstarter going right now. I want to interject that. There's a new Kickstarter going right now to get their comic book. The way they're doing this, folks, I mean, they are doing everything from the ground up. The first toys that we got were the first Kickstarter. The second Kickstarter is getting a comic out there to get a series of comics out there to get the characterization behind these characters. Then there's more toys in another Kickstarter, I'm assuming, coming after that. So if you love the Unrustables, please head on over to Kickstarter right now and support them. They're about one-third of the way funded on the comics. All they need is like $8,000 total to get it done. And if you guys love the toys enough, let's get those comics made. I went ahead and backed them, and I can't wait. I hope this really comes through. Unrustables, it's on the Kickstarter. Search them out. And there's also links on our Facebook group as well. I'm sorry, Don. I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's fine. So basically, you have hit the nail on the head, Doron, and even more now than when we talked about this a while back, where we're tired of 84, 80. Yes, we know G1 sales. Everyone's doing it. We need someone to be brave with the courage of the Braves. Heck, third-party Brave figures. You've got 9 years worth of Brave characters that could certainly use an update. And I don't think there'd be any problems. I don't think Takara's going to say, oh, now them doing Brave is crossing the line. I don't see that happening.
They haven't even touched the franchise in years.
Right. And it's just the fact that I want to see someone do Turbo Masters. I want to see them do Trackons. I want to see them do Lightformers. I want to see them do Cyber Jets. I want to see... If they do a Starscream, give us a G2 Starscream. I'm saying
actually elated to see Moss Toys doing Rapido in the case there. I'm like, if they do a Windbreaker, I'm like, give me my you're getting my money. I gotta have my Windbreaker.
I've seen the design. It looks good.
You know,
I didn't even know that. I'm still playing catch up from the news.
I almost punched someone in the face once at a place I used to work at. I don't remember where it was, but somebody said, yeah, maybe we'll do a Rapido. I'm like, who? Rapido. Like, who?
Good Lord.
Rapido.
Double face.
Rapido. Rapido? Jeez, guys.
I still think the coolest thing about Rapido was that for BotCon, we did the tech spec in Spanish. That was one of the most fun things we ever did.
I know that way. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my thought is the fact that
Technotron brought it up too. The Omnibots have never been touched.
I've been saying that for two or three since third party became a viable alternative.
We got Reflector. Why has no one touched the Omnibots?
Right. So anyway, that's my thoughts on the subject. Yeah, but you'll hear something similar to that coming up soon. As a matter of fact,
I just backed Unrustable Bastard on Kickstarter.
Yep, I got mine in too.
I have no qualms saying it. I did the $50 back because I've got to have all the issues. Because that just—I mean, I don't have to have like the ultimate version of everything, but I want all the issues. Yeah. I can't wait.
Just out of curiosity, Jaron, is there like a named writer and artist attached, or is it the crew of them doing the comics?
Jeff Senior, isn't it? I believe one of them.
He's doing covers.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
I may or may not be involved. I'm waiting to hear. We'll see what happens. I'm involved with Mass Toys, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I really think that regurgitating characters is becoming the bane of not just third party, but even official. I understand that Hasbro wants to, get a Megatron and an Optimus Prime out in every line. And I think in the last, well, at least since Combiner Wars, they've done a really good job. Okay, yes, we've gotten Prime and Megatron ad nauseum, but we've also gotten all kinds of characters that, you know, we haven't had a Werewolf since 1987. We haven't had a Mind Wipe since, well, I mean, a Bat Mind Wipe, I guess, since, I think, Beast Wars, was it? Did we get a Batman? No, it was, I guess, G1. No,
it was G1. Soundwave.
Yeah, Soundwave.
We got Lyokaiser.
Yeah, we even got Lyokaiser. I give them kudos for dipping into that well. It's like for years, we've been saying, well, you don't need to come up with new characters in every line. Generation 1 has such a diverse and wide amount of characters to draw from. You could literally go each line and, okay, you got Optimus Prime and Megatron, and you got these set of characters, and you won't even have to touch those characters again for probably 7 or 8 more years. You know, and it seems like they're doing that.
And you would think with something like Cyberjets, you can do 6 Cyberjets, slight variations to be true to the original characters, plus 3 colors, plus, because I know people that they're not Seeker fans per se, but that you put a Cyberjet in front of them and they will buy every single Cyberjet they can get their hands on. That's me.
Plus,
I love,
you could do the the unreleased remolded Cyberjets from G2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's what I think needs to happen, and soon. Otherwise,
we've seen at San Diego, I kind of think we're headed towards it. I mean, we're making our way through gimmicks. Well, we're at Micromasters.
Let's go ahead and make that transition. And since my voice is already since my voice is already starting to cut out on me, Christian, you want to kind of talk about what we've seen
at SDCC so far? At San Diego, we have seen the first, or at least a bit of the first wave of War for Cybertron Siege. It's the beginning of the new War for Cybertron trilogy, just like we got Prime Wars with Combiner Wars, Titans Return, and Power of the Primes. And we saw a couple of deluxes. We saw Voyager Optimus and a Leader Ultra Magnus, which is very Robots in Disguise 2001 inspired in vehicle mode. Pretty sweet. But the thing I'm most excited about is MicroMasters. They're back.
I was over the moon.
Yeah, me too. They're releasing them in two packs, not four packs. I'm hoping we'll see the other half of those patrols somewhere else. But, you know, as Prime Wars went on, we went from combiners to headmasters and target masters, and now we did pretenders a bit with Prime Masters. Now we're at MicroMasters. So I think we're kind of making our way through gimmicks. So next would be, like, Action Master somehow, but I don't think they'll make them not transform.
Did anyone else notice we saw no Decepticons?
Yep, no Decepticons, yeah, except
whatsoever.
They're coming,
but
except they were on that that print that they set, that they had at the booth.
Yeah,
Tetra Jets from Hasbro. Notice,
since you brought up Action Masters. What was it called, Weaponizer or whatever?
Battle Masters, yeah.
Yeah, Target Masters.
Lionizer.
Which
in G1 was Rad's partner.
Yeah.
And I've been hoping for a Rad with Lionizer for years, since Transformer Cybertron Smokescreen.
I think they're coming.
Yeah, the running theory is that we think that New Jersey Comic-Con will be the Decepticons.
New York Comic-Con.
New York, sorry.
Yeah, same fuck place. New Jersey Comic-Con.
Yeah.
But the Tetra Jets were on the print.
Okay. I'm going to jump in. Christian, are you done? I didn't want to jump in.
That I think we're headed towards G2 because we're at the tail end of G1 now.
Real quick, as far as what they revealed, I posted in the Facebook group just a little bit ago too. There was an interview with what's his name?
Warden.
Fellow works for Hasbro.
John
Warden. Well, anyway, it was an interview at the Hasbro booth, and after watching that, I'm getting the strong feeling that we may end up with an Omega Supreme as the next Titan class figure, simply because he kept going on about what type of Titan class
he was in the voting a few years back, and I'm sure that they already had the designs for each and every one of those that was in the vote. You know, Omega, Scorponok, Drifticon. So if whatever they need to do is like, okay, Omega, or I mean, Triptychon came first, Predaking, I'd say Omega. They just reach in there and pull that design out, and all right, let's make this.
But he kept repeating those, like, what would fit the story? What Titan class character design would make the most sense given the time frame of what was going on then in the closing days of the Great War?
Omega.
The Guardian robots.
Okay. You know,
I'm just wondering, are they going to do Rocket Base? Are they going to do Arc? Or some kind of blend of the two?
Well,
because the Titans have three modes usually.
I am going to say this, and this is probably not going to be a very popular opinion, but sometimes I say stuff that's not. I have never been more disappointed in the Transformers line than I am right now with Siege War for Cybertron. Other than Ultra Magnus, there's absolutely nothing that we have seen so far that I am even interested in buying. Because I don't care. Because I mean, I'm glad we're getting MicroMasters for the fans, and I do believe you're right that we are seeing them gradually getting out of this 84, 85, 86 bubble and moving forward. But when you say it's a war for Cybertron, and you say all the stuff you've been building up to two of these reveals, and you get an Optimus Prime that's basically Optimus Prime with some more Greeble attached to him, the robot mode for Optimus looks like it didn't even come from the same truck as what he is in his vehicle mode. Sideswipe, that is a Cybertronian as Massey. That is an Earth car with a bit of bad paint weathering detailing and going at a $20 Studio Series price point is what we understand. Target Masters, I'm glad we're getting Target Masters back. One of my theories is maybe we'll see some Arms Microns being brought over because there's still weapons and things of that nature. Maybe that could be like an in-package add-on with the figure.
The one that, what is it? the one that they showed with Fire Drive. It looks a lot like a slightly retooled version of the Target Masters that came with the LG figures last year.
Yeah, Chris and Rob did some toy detective work on that. It's a very similar skeletal design, but they're not the same figures, is what they were saying.
Or they're not came to the same conclusion.
Yeah, yeah. So I am not putting down Hasbro for I'm not mad at them. I'm just saying, again, it's Earth Modes. It's 84. There's very little Cybertronian in these things except for Gribble on Optimus and maybe a little bit of something on Sideswipe. There is nothing I have seen so far that makes me want to have anything to do with Siege. And it's just, I mean, I'm not trying to be petty. It's just, you tell me this is a war for Cybertron, I'm thinking Hoverbox Wheeljack. I'm thinking, you know, slim little Bumblebee. I'm thinking Jazz in his Cybertronian mode. You know, that's things that we haven't, and then maybe G1 characters, but stuff we haven't seen. Brand new designs from, but still G1 kind of thing. But this is the most lackluster reveal I have ever seen and the most disappointed I've been in a launch information in my entire collecting history.
Wow.
Tetra Jets.
That's pretty strong.
That is an old statement.
They're not... I want to see them. I want to see them in color because, again, gray resin pictures really don't do much to it. But they remind me a lot of the Planet X Starscream, which I had bought last year, and I thought, this is nice. But this is not the Tetra Jets that I want.
You may be confusing Tetra Jets since they're being made by Moss Toys right now. You might be thinking of those. The Tetra Jets we saw for Siege were just... I guess CGI renders on a print that showed the first wave of stuff.
Maybe I'm getting some stuff. Again, it's been a lot of stuff coming out the last couple of weeks. But I'm just saying, with what we've seen so far, and I don't want to say like I'm saying Hasbro. I'm not saying Hasbro's terrible. I'm not saying that. It's just it's the same characters repeated. Yeah, maybe we haven't gotten a Sideswipe in a while since. You really can't count RID 2.0 because that's a different size wipe. I can understand that. But it's just, it's so much concentrated meh. And other than Magnus, and the only saving grace for Magnus is in vehicle mode, he's RID Magnus, which I still don't think is a bad toy. It's not as good as Optimus, but it's not a bad toy. And the robot mode looks really, really great. Other than that, I see nothing so far I won't.
There's a few things I'm kind of wondering about Siege, given that they're bringing in the MicroMasters. Granted, they're in two packs and all, but all the same, they're still bringing back MicroMasters in general, which I think is awesome because, you know, everybody loved Mini-Cons and Armada. And so now kids that grew up with Armada were going to see MicroMasters just the way we saw them back when we were kids. But there's three main things I'm kind of wondering.
That's a good point, one, Jim.
Right.
What about the MicroMasters?
Right. One with the MicroMasters, which being there are two packs, we have the potential to possibly get the others in other two packs to complete the set of four. So I figure that's probably a given. But I'm wondering, one, could we possibly see like some of the MicroMaster bases and transports. I mean, could we be getting an Erector here soon in some form?
I think it's possible. I think when we saw like the Titans Return Leader guys turning into bases, I think we might see a return of something like that.
Right, but that would also make me wonder: is like what scale would they go with as far as I mean, would they go as far as even say Countdown or Skystalker?
Yeah. I think when you were talking about the Titans having three modes and having the Arc slash Rocket Base slash Omega or something, I think you're probably onto something there.
Yeah, because
that's where I put it. Maybe for Rocket Redeco Base especially. Omega.
Yeah, maybe Redeco Omega into Countdown, you know, because they both had rockets. I mean, that could be a thing. But I'm also wondering a little further later into G1 Mythos, could we also potentially see combiners? I'm thinking six turbo, six train, six liner, or I don't know, Monstructor.
I was about to say Monstructor.
Monstructor is like the main G1, like American G1 combiner that we have not gotten yet.
Piranacon.
And since they're bringing back
Micromax. Yeah, Piranacon needs to come before Monstructor.
Well, that's true,
but I can kind of see them maybe repainting or remolding like Terracons or something.
Terracons and Dinobots and a couple new molds. I think you can do it.
Well, Jim, just to let you know, it's third party and it's not the MicroMaster size, but I'm saying we are getting a Monstructor recolor from Source Ryo from.
That figure is garbage. I had the Dino King version of it, and it looked awesome. Just standing there, but I put it together and you go to pick it up off the shelf and the damn thing wouldn't click in and latch tight enough. The legs would literally slide off of it under its own weight.
Okay.
Typical fans project stuff. Tolerances are not their strong point.
I just didn't know if you knew or not. I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, Jim, I think you're definitely onto something there with the smaller size class for combiners like Six Turbo or Monstructor, because they're small. And if we're bringing back small characters like that, you know, 3-2 packs would give you a Monstructor.
Plus, they keep stressing scale.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, like, okay, so are they going to have the MicroMaster scale be able to combine, just like they do with the weapons, into maybe Deluxe class or Voyager class combiners?
Yeah. I think it's certainly possible.
It's just kind of fun to think about, you know? But I got to say, overall, though, the more I think about it, the idea of an Omega Supreme that's like has a base mode that's maybe the Arc and a rocket base, and having it to be able to possibly be redecoed into a countdown, those two possibilities themselves are just blowing me away.
I've been having a fun time.
If there's any truth to it, it's just my own speculation.
I've been having a fun time thinking about the names of the lines, because we've got War for Cybertron, that's the overarching one, and then Siege, which to me sounds like a first stage. I'm not sure what a second stage would be, but as far as the story goes, you think the third one would be Victory.
Assault.
Yeah, Assault, that sounds good.
What about Pew 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 or Kablooey?
No, I'm just thinking that we might get another Transformers Victory series in 2 years or so. Maybe that's when we'll finally see stuff like Evolution, Star Saber, or Death Source or something.
We've got more than one RID, so I wouldn't see why not. I'd be okay with it.
It could be fun.
And they teased Star Saber back during the voting.
Yep, I think his design is ready. I think they've probably incorporated him in there somewhere.
You know, I mean, there's a character, too, that we have not mentioned or talked about a whole lot. That was revealed at SDCC. That was a big shocker to a lot of us. And that is Cog, the little character that was associated with Fort Max. Now that we have a Titan Returns Fort Max, we will have a Cog to put with it.
Wasn't there a listing that went up for Scamper or Six Gun or something that looks similar to that?
Yeah,
I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, I think the running theory is Six Gun is the repaint of Cog. That's what I'm hearing people are saying.
I'd be cool with that.
Someone did you bash it.
It's a later repaint.
Yeah, someone did you bash it. It looks good.
I wonder how it will I'm assuming it will. I mean, why even bring out the character if it's not going to interact with Fort Max?
I guess it'd be five millimeter pegs.
No, I mean, is he going to become a gun? Do you like disassemble him? And
is he going to become an Autobot that exists in that world?
Yeah, apparently the way the pictures look is Cog is basically like B-Mog. He will basically come apart and become different weapons for different characters.
Right.
So that was the closest comparison that I could get to, was that he was basically like a B-Mog.
That's definitely what Six Gun does, so I'm good with that.
Like a God Bomber made out of guns.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of the things that I thought Gun Titan Bomber. Returns Fort Max was sorely missing, is a rifle of any kind.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Let's talk some more about the little MicroMaster guys. The ones that we've seen Road Handler, Swindler, Flack, Big Shot.
You know there's going to be a
Red Hot Stakeout.
You're Red Hot and Stakeout. What's that?
You know there's going to be a Big Daddy coming at some point.
I hope to God there is. That's Woo-hoo. One of the reasons whenever I saw they're doing MicroMasters, I'm like, please tell me they're going to do a Big Daddy.
They're so small. The tooling has to be easy on them.
It'll be like Big Pappy.
I don't know. They called that 2007 movie figure Big Daddy.
That's true.
I mean, it's been 11 years. Who knows what the name state is now, but they did use it.
All I know is I just want to get an erector.
Your mom gave me an erector.
They'll probably call him like Constructor or something.
But you know, if you think back to Generation 1, a lot of the MicroMasters, you know, they might have had, I'm just pulling a number out of my ass here, but they might have had like 12 unique molds and just redecoed those into different characters. I'm kind of wondering, once we get through a wave or two of these MicroMasters, if we'll start seeing some redecos into like the other mates to some of these earlier MicroMasters that they've been releasing. You know, I mean, if all they need is a couple airplanes and you can get a Whisper, a Sunrunner, you know, a Tailspin,
Airwave, Stormcloud,
or Tailwind, yeah.
Blackout.
So I'm kind of wondering, you know, I mean, they don't, the thing is a lot of these MicroMasters, they look so dead on, especially in the robot forms, to their original characters.
Yeah. That was really surprising to me.
Yeah, Swindler, I think, is the one that changed the most because he doesn't necessarily look like a DeLorean anymore, but still.
He doesn't look not like a DeLorean.
No, but yeah, doesn't.
You'd look at that, and that's a DeLorean.
I mean, the original Swindler is like, oh, that's a DeLorean.
That's a DeLorean.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the coolest thing that we've seen is that they do that weapon combining thing, which is neat in itself, but to me, it indicates that they can make MicroMaster combiners. So we can get stuff like Vanquish and Direct Hit. Is that the Blackbird that combines? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the Astro Squad guys.
Oh, interesting. That would be cool.
Yep. I mean, if they're already combining two together to make something, they could make two combined together to make a big vehicle.
How about this? Mock Tackle. Landcross.
You know, I feel like we've been hearing rumors about Landcross for a while. Maybe this is its time, finally.
And we know Japan's penchant for doing, you know, repaints of stuff that we get over here. And, you know, I know that they said, you know, brand unity. But we've already seen they're still doing those occasional odd repaints. So I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that we can get, you know, those characters, at least through Japan anyway.
Yeah, that's less of a sure thing than it used to be, but not out of the question.
So anything else that was mentioned at SDCC that I think should be noted, or that you think?
Well, not Transformers, but yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, GoBots is finally getting a comic book series from IDW.
Who is?
GoBots.
I was pretty excited about that, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the creative team on that one. I just didn't like the G.I. Joe Transformers IDW story. It took me a while to kind of force myself to read it all. But it has potential. It has potential. You know, it's only 5 issues of GoBots. I think it's kind of a total reinvention where the GoBots have been living amongst us. They're refugees and they're everything. They're our coffee maker. They're our drivers. We'll see how it goes. It could be fun.
Definitely.
Go, GoBots.
Somebody didn't mute their phone. So we've seen a lot of cool stuff, you know, both from third party and official. Real quick, we'll go around the room here and talk about the top thing that was announced at TFCon Canada and the top thing at SDCC for each one of us that really jumped out at us is like, that was really something I want to get. Don, we'll go with you first.
Okay. And Rick, thank you for the link earlier on the question I asked you. The Machine Wars recolor of Mastermind Colossus looks really interesting, and I'm looking forward to getting that and also seeing Double Evil actually in actual plastic form. So that was a big thing to see.
And Zombie does some great stuff.
Yeah. Yep. And San Diego, the best thing for me was that we're getting a Diamond Select Enterprise C, which is my favorite ship, one of my favorite ships of all time from Star Trek. So, yeah.
I got an in there, man. Hit me up. You may not need to pay for that.
Oh, okay. I just placed the order a little while ago.
Oh, well, you know what? Screw you.
Well, that can be undone, Don.
Nope. Okay. Nope. It's too late.
What has been done cannot be undone.
That's right.
Okay,
where's your Dominomics now?
Well, I didn't know, and you didn't say anything, and I was.
It's okay, Don. I pre-ordered the SDCC Dino cassettes on the Entertainment Earth website. And then here comes Orson saying, "Hey, I can get it for like $20 cheaper," and I'm like,
"Well, I mean, you can't. I mean, can you cancel Entertainment Earth?"
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yep, so
it's not super easy.
I'll find out. You can do it. I'll find out for you.
Okay. Yeah. Please let me know.
What about you, Rick?
I think the one Hasbro thing that got me the hardest, definitely Ultra Magnus. The fact that it has a cab and it's a trailer that combines with the cab. That to me is something special.
They can totally do a powered convoy redeco out of that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. And I'm still holding out hope for a Star Convoy. You know, Don, you have a good point. The Siege of Cybertron stuff, it's got some potential, but it's a little disappointing, especially of Optimus. Why not Star Convoy, right? I think from TFCon, I had my friend Spencer from Moss Toys pick up a few little special items for me, but it was that master. I love everything Mastermind Creations. I love that reformatted line, man. I gotta have it all. So I wasn't able to get the Machine Wars decoed Thunder Clash repaint, but I just ordered it off Aegis 3 and up. So I'm happy.
Okay, what about you, Christian?
Nobody loves Machine Wars.
I wish people loved Machine Wars. I wish I could love Machine Wars. Meh. For me, TFCon, the highlight was definitely the reformatted Skylynx. That thing looks incredible. You can't appreciate the scale of it until you stand next to it. And I did that.
It's
coming in two parts. October and January, I think, is the release dates right now. We'll see if that sticks. But this thing is just monstrous. It's so big.
Got mine pre-ordered.
Yep, I got mine pre-ordered too. And then from San Diego, I think I've said it several times, Micromasters as a whole together.
San Diego.
We all know the origin of that word.
Yeah. I'm going to go right there with you, Christian. You stole my thunder on both accounts. That Skylynx, the moment I saw the first picture of that, I literally had a tear run down my face because I have been begging for a Skylynx an updated Skylynx for years and years and years. And now we're finally getting one. And he looks almost like ripped right out of what's that episode? Call of the Primitives.
Now here's the thing about that toy. It works with your masterpiece. But it also works for your generations.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think he's going to go on my generation shelf.
Yep. I like Combiner Wars Skylynx, but he may be getting replaced. We'll see.
Yeah. But I'm totally jazzed about him. And then the MicroMasters. You know, I stated earlier, I was so over the moon. I mean, MicroMasters isn't like my favorite thing in Transformers, but right before I got out of collecting toys as a child, right at the tail end of Generation 1 for me was the MicroMasters. And the ones that they revealed were some of the ones I actually had as a kid. You know, Swindler, Road Handler, that was the very first MicroMaster set that I ever got. The MicroMaster
Patrol.
Yeah, the Battle Patrol was the second one I got. You know, so I'm like, wow, they look just like they're supposed to. So I was really excited about that. Really excited. Jim, what about you?
Well, I'm just keep looking at COG and just the possibilities there. I just love it. I mean, that, and one thing we didn't mention actually that Siege is going to offer is the little fire blast effect.
That would go totally right in the extras bin for me.
No, I love it.
They could be used as like a flame exhaust. They could be used on the weapons. I mean, just in that interview I posted in the group or in the Facebook group, he said that those use 3mm ports.
Very nice.
So that's going to be very, very versatile and using on other figures. Yeah, that's the main two things as far as Siege goes.
What about TFCon? Was there any reveals there that really, really floated your boat?
Not too awful much. I mean, I did see the Skylynx looking thing. And I was pretty impressed by that. I gotta say, well, because it's not an official Skylynx. It's Skylynx.
Thing. Just shut up.
If you like Skylynx, try me.
Groan.
Right.
All right, guys. I think my voice is about gone for this episode. I want to thank everybody for joining us in live. And everybody that was in the live chat, lots of great comments and everything. Thank you all. Hopefully next week we can keep this ball rolling, and hopefully I'll be a little bit better off as far as my voice goes. I'm feeling great. You know, my strength has gotten back to the point now where I can get out and be active and not come home and like, oh my God, I'm going to die. But
right, and you're back at work.
I've been back at work for about 2 weeks now. During the 4th of July week, we went up to the Indianapolis Children's Museum, and I wasn't 100% when we went. And when we came back, I felt it. It was one of those things that I'm like, I made a mistake. But that being said, I really glad that I went, because it helped me, you know, start getting a little more active, because I'd went about a month and 2 weeks, roughly, basically just nothing but bed rest, and getting out of bed was a challenge, and I think it really did me good, but it's good to be back. You know, we hadn't abandoned the fans, and I tried my best to keep people updated and say, hey, we're still here, we will be back. I didn't know when, but now here we are, and I'm glad just that we can be back on the air, and it feels good. Glad you guys kind of stuck with me here, and a lot of you guys, you know, your kind words, and a lot of you helped out in other ways that really saved my hide, and I can't thank you guys enough. So it just goes to show you, the fans of TFYLP, the people on TFYLP are the greatest, and I just can't wait to be back next week. You guys have any closing thoughts?
I posted that picture of that UFO prop I got. If anybody recognizes what film it's from, please let me know.
Absolutely. Check out our sponsors, CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. And now we have a stasis pod, so you can actually put something in a holding pattern until you're ready for it to ship. Just like you know, the ones at the other stores. Captured Prey has it now too. And you can save even more with a free domestic shipping with $150 or more on your order. Also, check out Ripped Apparel, rippedapparel.com, and save 10% on your order if there's not already a better deal going on with the promo code TFYLPPOD, all capital letters. Follow us on Twitter at TFYLP and also on our Facebook group. Love to see you on there. And also, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TFYLP if you love what we do. It helps us keep going and helps buy new equipment, all kinds of stuff. So hopefully I can get back on track with getting the new computer built because that got thrown out of whack. So, yeah. But $1,500 ambulance bills kind of stand in the way for that. So, anyway. We will see you next time on TFYLP. Good night, everybody.
Keep it sexy.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.